From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Savannah Harbor expansion is a $706 million project. The aim is to dredge 32 miles of the Savannah River to let in supersized freighters from the Panama Canal. The dredging project would also make room for another waterborne species, the short-nosed sturgeon. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers proposes constructing a rock weir to allow the endangered fish access to its historic spawning ground. Well, the proposal has stirred up arguments in communities along Georgia waterways. GPB's Drew Dawson is station manager of GPB's Augusta Bureau, also our midday host, and he's been following the debate on the line from Augusta right now. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Virginia, how are you?
Very well, and really interested in this story. To start, the Corps of Engineers has to be aware of environmental impacts during the expansion. So how does the short-nosed sturgeon come into all this?
Well, interestingly, it's not only the short-nosed sturgeon, it's also the Atlantic sturgeon, two different breeds of the fish. And the problem has been that because there was a lock-in dam placed about 19 miles south of downtown Augusta back in the 1930s for navigation purposes and for the purposes of trade on the river, the sturgeon haven't been able to make it upstream to their normal spawning grounds, which is the Augusta Shoals. Mm. So now what they're saying is that because of the endangered Species Act, both of these fish breeds, if you will, are entitled to special protections. And with the funding for the Savannah Harbor expansion also comes the funding for some environmental remediation. And this is one of the parts of that. Now, I have to tell you, I've talked to people up and down the Augusta area of the river on this, and they tell me they've never seen a sturgeon in the river, which could make the case for why it's necessary to remove the lock and dam, but it also could make the case for, hey, these fish aren't really here anyway. So there's some debate on both sides as to the practicality and the need for making the move that they're talking about here.
Well, so let's dig into that. The fish haven't been able to access their historic spawning ground since 1937 when this original lock and dam system built. So is this why they are an endangered species, or have they just found someplace else to spawn?
Yes and yes. They are partially endangered because of the fact that from what I've read and from what I've heard from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, these particular breeds of fish like to breed on hard surfaces in shallow waters like the Augusta Shoals. So what's happened, so I've been told, is that the fish have come up the river and they've gotten to the dam, the lock and dam, and sort of kind of stopped there. Problem is that the ground underneath that is very, very soft sediment rather than the hard surface that they like to breed on. And the folks at NOAA tell me that they've actually tagged some of these fish and seen them come up to the dam, stop, turn around, and go back downriver. Now, my question was, if these fish haven't been able to get upstream since 1937, why do we think that this will happen at this point? And they tell me that it's not so much that there's some magical geolocator that takes them back to the place where they were born. What it is they follow the flow of the river. In other words, if there's a headwater coming down toward them, they're going to swim right through that and keep on going until they get to the place that they think they want to breed. Mm-hmm. So the expectation is that once the dam is removed and the rock weir or whatever ends up there is put in, the fish will keep on swimming upriver and say, oh, I'm still swimming into a headwind, so to speak, so let me keep going. And eventually they'll get to the shoals and say, this is good breeding ground for me. And one of the things I should mention, just anecdotally here, Virginia, is that people may not be familiar with just how magnificent these fish are. When you talk to someone from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they don't refer to them as fish. They refer to them as animals. Subtle, but important. There's two kinds of fish there we're talking about. We're talking about the short-nosed sturgeon and also the Atlantic sturgeon. The short-nosed sturgeon grow to be about 5 feet long, weigh as much as 60 pounds, and live 10 to 20 years. The Atlantic sturgeon grow to be as much as 14 feet long,
oh my goodness,
weigh up to 800 pounds, and live as long as 60 years. So they're pretty impressive animals, fish, if you will, that they're talking about here. And, you know, because most people who live along the river have never, ever seen one, there's, you know, the perception that, hey, we're just talking about some fish. Well, the Endangered Species Act says, yeah, but these are pretty special fish. They've been around for 250 million years, and they're not the kind kind of thing you're going to catch with a rod and a reel. These are large, large creatures that are impacted by all this.
Well, the Corps of Engineers is planning to construct this rock weir in the Savannah River as a replacement for the current lock and dam. You talked about how the fish would experience, but how would the systems themselves differ?
Picture this as a retaining wall that you might see in somebody's landscaping, where one end is very, very high and then it sort of kind of steps down to the lawn area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what they're talking about doing, putting a 500-foot wide rock weir in place of the dam. So the water will still come over, but the fish will be able to swim up it and get over it and then get into the area where the shoals are. The goal, of course, is to try to preserve some or all of the pool, the water level through downtown Augusta, where everybody is squawking about the changes that that this will cause. Now, I will tell you that I've spoken to not only the folks from NOAA, but also the folks from the Savannah Riverkeeper, and they remind me that although we need to be concerned about the residents who live along the river, and the residents who live along the river are the ones who are concerned about the water level dropping, that's really not the Army Corps of Engineers concern. They are trying to live up to the terms of the Endangered Species Act, which says we got to make a way for these sturgeon to get back to their historic spawning grounds. And then secondarily, they're concerned about making sure that the industries along the river maintain access to that water. So the city of North Augusta, the city of Augusta, some major industries that are along the river all need to pull water from this river. And so when they did the tests in February, lowering the water level down to what it would be if this rock weir was in place, the industries could still get their water, the cities could still get their water, the fish could get upstream, and the residents in it who live along the water are sort of kind of out in the cold on this one because, as the government officials tell us, they knew what they were getting into when they moved there. They're subject to the rules that govern the river, not so much the river being subject to what their preferences are as far as preserving their property is concerned.
Okay, so you that's what happened. The Corps ran a simulation of the effect of the rock weir versus the dam. So what exactly happened? Did the river go down significantly?
Oh, yes, it did. Absolutely. The water level through downtown dropped, depending on where you were looking and officially measuring, as much as 4 or 5 feet.
Now, wow.
What that means is that if you had a dock and you have a beautiful house on the North Augusta side of the river, and you have a dock that comes off your property and drops down into the river where your boat is docked, your dock was sitting on mudflats. On the Augusta side, particularly as it moved along the Riverwalk, which is a big tourist and recreational area for downtown Augusta,
mm-hmm.
The water dropped 4 feet along the retaining walls and left exposed a nice stain. And Virginia, the stench was just absolutely unbelievable as far as the drying seaweed and what have you. But more importantly than that, with the water level so low, obstructions that had been buried underneath the river, old dock pilings, there's a wall that actually goes down the middle of a river from an earlier Army Corps of Engineers project early in the last century that was coming up to the place where it wasn't safe for boating anymore either. But again, the Army Corps of Engineers' concern isn't that. They're concerned about the fish, and they're concerned about the water intake from those industries and utilities. So from their standpoint, this test was fine, but the residents, of course, squawked and screamed and let their feelings be known that the plan that's been outlined is not acceptable for them.
Somebody who does see an upside, Riverkeeper Tanya Bonitatibus. Here she is describing what she noticed.
We're very excited because fish passage is happening, but we also recognize that this is a real good opportunity because the pool's being protected. That lock and dam was going to fall in. It's been in really bad shape for a long time. So seeing this move forward and knowing that at least something will be put in place to keep that water level higher is important.
All right, so you've got your commercial interests, recreational interests, real estate interests, and of course, environmentalist interest. And the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, they extended the period for public comment from community members to give their feedback. Among those who registered, Augusta resident Steve Gray.
There was nothing in the report that indicated they care about that sort of impact. There will be similar impacts on the cities on both sides, which have public improvements, parks, etc., along the river. I don't see where the plan provides anything for compensation for that.
That is Augusta resident Steve Gray, one of those that my colleague Drew Dawson spoke to during the public comment period. By the way, the community members have until April 16th to give their feedback on this proposed plan of a rock weir or some other alternative along the river in there in Augusta. So what else have you been hearing from the public?
Well, what's happening is that the Army Corps of Engineers has set up a comment period, and they are required by some of the laws that govern this process to read and respond and consider every comment that comes in. Likewise, what's happening is in the original report that the Army Corps of Engineers presented, they showed different models that they had considered. And some of the models do a better job of preserving the pool, the water height through downtown, than the one that they're recommending does. Likewise, Tanya and the Savannah Riverkeepers have come up with a plan that includes a whitewater area that's on the North Augusta side of the river, the rock weir, and then also some of the dam, which does a better job of preserving the pool and also plays into some of the concerns about flooding. In the comment period, they're asking other people to come in and say, here's our idea. We think this is a better way to do it because it also addresses some other concerns that residents might have who live along the river or people who use the river recreationally might have. Now, the challenge with all this is that any plan that is proposed as an alternative to the one that the Army Corps of Engineers is recommending has to officially be presented by either state or local government. And then secondly, those government entities have to come up with a way to cover the difference in cost. So although the rock weir that the Army Corps of Engineers is recommending has a price tag of just under $90 million, which is a lot of money, some of the other plans, including ones that preserve the lock and dam and add the, you know, the white water on one side and, you know, all that kind of thing, cost more. So the question then becomes, where does that additional money come from? Mm-hmm. And that's a question that hasn't been answered yet in this process.
So, Drew, oftentimes these kind of development plans versus an endangered species get set up in very black and white terms. How is this going? How is this playing out?
You know, it will be interesting to see what happens with the comment period, because that gentleman that you just played, Steve Gray, as the conversation continued, he shared another very, very important concern with me that hasn't come up in the conversations that I've heard with the government officials. If the Army Corps plan goes into effect as it's outlined, which lowers the level of the water so dramatically through downtown Augusta, a couple things happen. One is that people who have boat docks, all of a sudden their boat docks are laying on flat, muddy land, mm-hmm. as opposed to on the river. On the North Augusta side in South Carolina, the way the laws are written, that land becomes the property of the property owner who had it before. In other words, as long as there's dry land, the property owners own the land from their house to the water's edge. So not that big a deal for them. However, on the Georgia side, that is not the case. What would happen is the property line would be identified as a certain elevation where when the property was surveyed, anything past that all of a sudden becomes dry land as a result of the water level lowering, it's no man's land. So the property owners don't own it. They don't know what they'd have to do in order to get permission to extend their docks over it so they'd still have access to water, or if someone could come in and build between their house and the water, thus eliminating them from having waterfront property, which, of course, dramatically diminishes their property value. We'll see what happens. The Army Corps of Engineers says emphatically, we are going to listen to and consider every comment that comes in. The City of Augusta and North Augusta have hired some engineering firms to develop a plan that is in the language and form that the engineers from the Army Corps of Engineers will understand, that will be an alternative to what's been presented so far, that again has as its goal making sure that the pool, the water level through downtown Augusta, is maintained, as well as allowing for the fish to move upstream and the industries to get their water.
If their plan goes through, when would construction begin, have they said?
Construction would begin in January of 2020 or 2021. I'm not sure which, but it's that far out. Mm. But I will tell you, Virginia, one of the other things that I think that's important here is there is a piece of legislation called the Water Infrastructure Improvements for the Nation Act of 2016. that requires the Corps to maintain the pool for water supply and recreational activities that existed on the date of the enactment, which was December 16th, 2016.
Uh-huh.
On that particular day, the water level was 114.5 feet above sea level, essentially a full pool for the riverfront properties. This plan has the water level through the pool at 108 feet above sea level, which is a significant difference. And so there's quite a great likelihood that this is going to end up in the court somewhere, because the law specifically says whatever you put in there has to maintain the water level as it was on December 16th, 2016, which is 114 and a half feet. And the new plan is 108 and some change. So that's going to be a factor as well.
How is this playing out there? I mean, are you know, were you seeing lawn signs all over the place? Are neighbors talking with neighbors about this all the time? Is this the conversation?
I have not seen lawn signs. It is certainly the conversation. If you go along the Riverwalk and talk to just about anybody, they have an opinion on it. The comment sessions and the public meetings have been enthusiastic. We'll go with that. People have strong opinions on it. It's absolutely understandable. The environmental folks are saying, look, this is a fish that's been around for, you know, 250, 300 million years. We have to save this. It needs to be able to get up to the Augusta Shoals. You knew what you were getting into when you bought riverfront property. This shouldn't be a surprise to you that these things happen. The lock and dam hasn't been used for its designed purpose since, you know, 30, 40 years. As Tanya said, it's in bad shape. It will likely collapse at some point if something isn't done. So if that happens, then you're going to have a whole worse situation, because the water level is going to drop even more so than it would if the rock weir is put into place. There's a lot of different opinions, and it depends on what your priority is as to what will happen. I have to think, though, Virginia, that somewhere in the midst of all these options, there is one that meets all the needs, that allows the fish to get through, that keeps the water level at least high enough so that, you know, boats don't have to worry about hitting those obstacles that have come up, that the Riverwalk is still pristine and attractive, and is affordable, or at least there's another money source to help cover those additional costs. That's what the hope is, that everybody wins. But we'll have to see.
Well, Drew Dawson, going for the solution there. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Drew Dawson, he is station manager and host at GPB's Augusta Bureau. We are going to keep in touch with you on this one, Drew.
Absolutely.
Well, that is our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, LaRaven Taylor, and Amelia Brock. Alec Caslow is our engineer, Don Smith, our dean of grammar, and Amy Kiley, senior producer. We always love to hear from you. We're on Facebook and we're on Twitter at OST Talk, or you can email us at onsecondthought@gpb.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. This is On Second Thought.